You're listening to Irish Sports Talk.
Hello, Nerding fans. Welcome to Irish Sports Talk. We've got Peter Ariz joining us to talk some Canes and Notre Dame football. Peter is from CanesInsight.com. You can follow him on Twitter, at CanesInsight. Thank you, Peter, for taking the time and joining us. How are you doing today?
Doing well, guys. It's an exciting time down here in South Florida. You know, with all the hype this week of the games coming in, college game day. Miami, I know everyone's asking, is Miami back? Is the U back? And,
Peter,
have the, the relevance and the hype down here once again.
So is the how big a deal is game day down there in Florida? I mean, is everybody excited about this?
So it's actually the first time that game day has been on Miami's campus. They used to do the game days out at the Orange Bowl site, which is not on campus. So it's going to be an interesting look for people to see campus. You know, obviously, Miami's campus is a little different than a lot of campuses around the country. It's in the middle of you know, South Florida, Coral Gables, the palm trees, the beautiful weather down here. So I'm expecting it to be a good scene out there this weekend. And it's been a long time since like Miami game mattered this much this late in the season. So that's really what the people in South Florida and the people in Miami are most excited about.
Yeah, a lot of the players at Notre Dame were asked, you know, have they seen the 30 for 30 about Miami and Notre Dame, and do they know much about the history? And a lot of these guys don't remember that, and honestly, I don't really remember it either. I mean, it's before my time, but, you know, older people, this was obviously, there's a lot of history between these two teams. And I also noticed when you're talking about Miami, you're talking about palm trees and warm weather, it sounds like it's pretty easy. It'd be a good recruiting pitch to recruits, and it's hard to say no to that.
Yeah, it's funny. They're going to be doing this right next to the pool on campus. There's a big pool on campus, and one of the things Mark Richt, actually, who's obviously Miami's coach, he played at Miami back in the 80s. Mark Richt said he used to hang out by the pool a lot because of the girls out there. So it's definitely a good recruiting pitch. For sure, but the best recruiting pitch for Miami is just how they're playing right now. Because, look, Miami's always recruited at a pretty high level. Miami's always had talent, even in the last 10 years when Miami has not been winning at a national level. Still sending guys to the NFL, and there's still guys in the pros who are making, you know, big impacts all across the NFL. So the talent hasn't been the issue. It's been the culture and, you know, everything in the locker room, and now what you're seeing with everything just coming together, it seems like this year. I think they're like a little bit ahead of schedule than from where I thought they would be coming into the season. And look, if they might drop this game this weekend, but bottom line is that they're in line right now to go to the ACC championship for the first time ever, which is a major step for this program.
Miami is undefeated 8-0, and no one can take that away from them. But I know they haven't been getting as much respect as a lot of the fans think, and it's because of some of these close games. You know, North Carolina, Georgia Tech, Florida State, a lot of those are close games. Miami comes away with a win. But what are some of the reasons that some of those games were as close as they were when clearly Miami is a very potent team? They really put a whooping on Virginia Tech.
Well, I would say offensively is where the struggles have come. And it's been an offense where there's a ton of big plays. You know, they are scoring a decent amount of points, but it's been the consistency. At the quarterback position, Malik Rozier is a guy who's a redshirt junior. He won this job in fall camp in a quarterback battle, and this thing was going back to the spring, and he won that battle. And he's a guy who's going to bring you more mobility than what Brad Kaya brought you the last few years. And look, he's not a pure pocket passer, but what he can do is move those chains. And his accuracy has been a little bit questionable at times. Threw three interceptions last week, you know, struggled against North Carolina the week before that as well. So I would say, listen, is Miami getting the respect that they want right now? No, but the beautiful thing for them is, you know, starting last week and then, of course, coming into this week, with these two games, starting with that Virginia Tech game, they were given the opportunity to earn respect. If they put on a performance like last week, I think that almost everyone in the country will respect them. I will say that this is not a team where, look, they haven't been winning pretty for much of the season, but that defense is just really, really dominant. That's the side of the football that the matchup is going to come down to this weekend. That Miami defensive line against the offensive line in Notre Dame is going to be a fun one to watch.
Have you heard a lot from the fans as far as where Miami's ranked in the playoff rankings right now?
Yeah, some fans I think right now are, you know, I think that the fans kind of realize that Clemson as a one-loss team has earned their spot right now as defending champs. You know, Alabama and Georgia, there's not much argument there. TCU is the team that I think some Canes fans are a little annoyed are ahead of Miami right now, just because of, you know, they have a loss and it's not like they've gone out there and been world beaters. But listen, again, I think if Miami can win this game this weekend, this game has such big playoff implications, right? If Notre Dame wins, their road looks really, really, you know, clear for them to run the table and basically lock up a spot in that college football playoff. For Miami, it's interesting because let's say they win this weekend. You know, they still have to play a Clemson. Looks like it's going to be Clemson in the ACC championship. That will essentially be a play-in game as well if Clemson runs the table. So this is, to me, it's almost like a de facto quarterfinal game, right, for both teams. It's going to be an exciting one. I'll tell you guys this too. There's a lot made about Miami fans. I know this question was about Miami fans. Miami fans, there's no doubt. This is a bandwagon town. Miami Heat, you guys saw that when LeBron came in. That was a madhouse. Miami, you guys can see all the pictures every year where the stands may not be, you know, very packed or whatnot. But when a winner is in town, okay, those fans will be there, and there's some crazy people in Miami. I'll tell you guys that.
Yeah, well, it sounds like it's going to be a great matchup. I know everybody's excited around here. Just looking at the offense, you talked a little bit about quarterback. Who are some of the weapons on this offense, some guys to watch out for on Saturday?
Well, a couple people. One, at the running back position, Travis Homer. He's the guy who's filling in for Mark Walton. Mark Walton was Miami's starting running back this year, one of the top backs in the country. You know, an NFL-type talent, junior running back, out for the year now, suffered an ankle injury, had to have surgery after the Florida State game. So Travis Homer stepped up in his spot and been dynamic out of the backfield. He's a guy, doesn't have the most wiggle in the world, but he hits the hole, and he has a lot of speed. He goes right to that hole, hits it hard, and he goes straight forward. He falls forward. He picks up extra yards after contact. But again, he's not a guy who's going to make people miss. He's been very productive. I'll give you guys a freshman receiver to watch. A lot of people know the name Amon Richards, number 82, had that crazy hurdle in the game last year against the Fighting Irish. But number 4, Jeff Thomas, this is a guy who was the MVP of the Under Armour All-American game last year. He's hit a couple deep bombs against Georgia Tech, had a deep one against North Carolina, had a big play against Syracuse as well. He's been the one over the last 3-4 games, or one of the guys, who's opened up this offense down the field. And he's a speedster. He's absolutely dynamic. I would look for Miami to continue to try to spread things out like they did last week against Virginia Tech, had a bunch of 5-wide sets, because I think that's Miami's best chance of winning this game, to tell you the truth, is letting the athletes go out there and win the game, because I still think that Notre Dame has the upper hand in the, you know, as far as Miami's offensive line goes and their defensive line. I know Notre Dame has been getting a lot of pressure this year with 3-4-man fronts, so that could be problematic for this Miami offense.
Yeah, and looking at the receiving stats, it looks like they have quite a few long receiving touchdowns, 51 yards, 49, 78, and those all went for touchdowns. So,
Yeah, the big play. That's been the big play has been saving Miami this year, and that's where things have kind of balanced out, right? Because we talked about earlier in the show where Miami has not been consistent. You know, there's just times this year where they just become stagnant offensively, three and outs, turnovers all of a sudden, and it just doesn't seem like they've been able to string multiple drives together. But those big plays have bailed them out. I mean, I'm sure you guys saw at the end of the Georgia Tech game that fourth down reception that number 81 Darryl Langham had. And then same thing in Florida State, right? Those were the two games that they were kind of bailed out there by big receptions at the end of the game. But listen, to tell you guys the truth, I think this one is going to come down to Miami's defense against that running game of Notre Dame. That has been such a powerful attack this year, just wearing teams down. And look, Miami lost an important player on the defensive line this week in Demetrius Jackson, a guy who is essentially a starter, one of Miami's best guys against the run. But if there is one group on this team that is prepared for an injury or a loss like that for the rest of the season, it is this front four. So that, like I said, I've said it a few times, but that is going to be an exciting matchup. I know the scouts are looking forward to that one for sure.
Yeah, and tell us a little bit more about the defense. It sounds like they have a good rotation at the defensive line.
Yeah, there's a bunch of guys in the mix there. At defensive tackle, Kendrick Norton, number 7, and then R.J. McIntosh, number 80. McIntosh is the guy who picked up that fumble last week, and his brother plays for Notre Dame as well.
Yeah.
Of course, Dion, I believe his name is, right?
Yeah.
He, you know, that's an interesting little family matchup there. So you have those two guys inside. Then on the edge, you have Chad Thomas, number 9, number 99, Joseph Jackson, number 97, Jonathan Garvin gets in the mix. This is a very deep group. And in my opinion, coached by one of the top position coaches in the country, and Craig Kuligowski, came over when Mark Richt came over from Missouri, and you know all these Missouri defensive linemen in the league right now, he was the man who produced them all. So Miami was left with a pretty strong group of defensive line when Al Golden left, and he's done a great job molding that group. But in general, this defense, the identity of this defense, is built on what Manny Diaz, defensive coordinator, does. It's an aggressive scheme. He's going to send a lot of guys after the quarterback. He's going to send, you know, odd fronts. He'll do some stuff where he has everyone standing up at the line of scrimmage. A couple people drop, a couple defensive linemen drop, a nickel will blitz. So he does a lot of different things to disguise what Miami's going to bring. But one thing that's not going to be disguised is the all-out pressure that he wants to bring every game. Sometimes puts pressure on the defensive backs because leaves them in a lot of one-on-one situations, which is, you know, in a game like this against Brandon Wimbush, you know, he's a guy who can get out of the pocket and create when the play breaks down, right? So I think that's going to be something to watch, because Miami's going to have to spy on him a bit, keep an extra eye on him. Maybe, you know, one of those guys who's normally blitzing is just there as an extra quarterback spy, because I know he likes to make plays when things break down.
Yeah, for sure. And Michael Jackson, the cornerback, earlier this week, Kirk Herbstreit mentioned he's one of the best cornerbacks in the country. And did he start at the beginning of the year? Was he a starter in the first game of the year, or has he kind of improved as the year has gone on?
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up, because he was a guy who, he was not technically a starter. He was listed as a starter on the depth chart, but he was not the primary guy. He was in the rotation. He's someone who, he's from Birmingham, Alabama, didn't have any big SEC offers. UAB wanted him. And when Miami goes into a place like that and goes out of the state of Florida, goes out of South Florida to go get a skill position guy or a defensive back, that should, you know, tell you what they think of him. And this is a guy who's 6'2", 195, 200 pounds, big cornerback. And, yeah, he's really improved this year. I mean, he's just taken those steps in the right direction. He's, again, very – his physical attributes are really – kind of what stand out about him. He has that size, speed, physicality, combination. And he's put up all the numbers this year with those interceptions, but he's also someone who's physical against the run. And he's starting to make a name for himself in some of this draft talk stuff. But then another defensive back I'd watch for is Jaquan Johnson, number 4 at safety. He's put that turnover chain on a few times this year. He's forced some fumbles and had an interception last week as well. So it's a much improved secondary for Miami as well.
Yeah, well, we're excited about this matchup. I know the Notre Dame players are because they get to go to the South where it's warm for a couple days. Just final thing, do you have a score prediction?
It's gonna be a good one.
Do you have a score prediction for Saturday's game, or are you not at that point yet?
Well, listen, I've been leaning all week towards Miami, and I don't know if that's just because I'm down here and I'm feeling the energy and all that. I don't know if I'm a homer, but I'm going with the Canes just because let's see here. You want a number, I'll give you a number. Let's say how about 30-24? All right. And again, I think this Notre Dame program, you have to give Brian Kelly a ton of credit for the way he's turned things around. And, you know, I know he's been there longer for 1 year, but where both of these programs were last year, I think that the run game of Notre Dame definitely has a chance to do some damage against Miami. I think that they'll hit some big runs against this defense. Because that's one thing is that they do give up some big runs of the line of scrimmage. But I really think that this atmosphere is something that, and I'm not saying Notre Dame and these guys haven't played in something like this before. Obviously, you look at their schedule this year, you look at their schedule every year, they're not afraid to play anyone. But this is a different, I think this is a new era. I think it's time for Miami to take that step maybe a little bit earlier than I thought they would, but it's gonna be a really, really good one. It's just good to see both of these programs back and relevant together at the same time, right? I mean, because mm-hmm. I know Notre Dame's had more recent success than Miami, maybe, but for both of them to be here at this point, it's a very, very special and exciting thing.
Completely agree. All right, thanks again, Peter, for joining us. And listeners, you can read up on the Miami Hurricanes over at CanesInsight.com and follow them on Twitter @CanesInsight. Thanks again, Peter, and we wish you the best on Saturday and the rest of the season.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate you having me on.